and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, with your hosts Ted and Austin Brower bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. We'll be having my mother on, Sharon Brower, in a few minutes for a period of time, and then Dad will be coming on a little bit more halfway through to have some other information that he has. He's getting prepped for the Hagman Show tonight, though. That's why he'll only be doing partial with us today. So we'll get into some stories here. I got some pretty interesting ones I've seen today.
Hey, Austin, I'm here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm about to dive into a story from Germany. You dialed in?
Yeah, I'm dialed in, ready to go.
Okay. This is interesting. You guys will find this interesting. Applications for small weapons licenses have already doubled the number for the whole of 2015 in Germany. Demand for non-lethal weapons in Germany is through the roof on the fears about millions of Muslim migrants being brought into the country. Newly released figures show the number of people who applied for small weapons licenses in Bavaria over the first 3 months of 2016 has already doubled the number for the entire year of 2015. Broken down, in 2014, there were only 2,379 licenses applied for that entire year. Last year, there were 5,748 for the entire year. Now, just for the first 3 months that they have, January, February, March, they already have over 10,000 licenses that are being applied for. Apparently, in Germany, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I'm not 100% of all the facts, I've read some of it up, there's very, very, very strong restrictions on firearms. Most of the stuff that you can only possess are non-lethal devices like pepper spraying guns, blank firing, cartridge weapons, stuff like that. To actually have and carry a concealed handgun, like say like a Glock 19, is pretty much next to impossible without some type of military or police identification or requirement in that sense. So apparently what these guys are buying are they're buying these pepper spray guns and these blank firing guns. It says after the waves of migrants flooding into Germany, the last months of 15, demand for protective weapons has soared, with supplies of the pepper spraying guns continuing to run out. Blank firing guns are one of the items Germans are snapping up over fear of attacks by migrants. I've seen some of these before. I mean, they kind of look like a real firearm. They basically have a blank cartridge in them. They're loud. They sound like a pistol and they go off, but there's no projectile. There's no air pressure. There's nothing. So, I mean, they really don't do anything as far as actual physical deterrence. They really just scare an individual into thinking they have a real firearm, I guess, and they missed. I really don't know how effective that is. I've never had much access to blank firing weapons. Most ones I've used have been, you know, real projectile firing guns. But what was so funny is Catherine Schultz, this blithering idiot internal affairs spokesperson for the Green Party in Bavaria, she goes on to say the explosive rise in the number of small weapon licenses being handed out is worrying. We don't need the people of Bavaria to arm themselves. Possessing arms and practicing vigilante justice are not an example we want to set. The danger is that more and more conflicts will escalate if people arm themselves. We need to act against this. Well, I hate to tell her, nobody over there has any care or concern for her thoughts, because she is obviously not very educated in real-world experience. The only thing that you can do to stop somebody is either show equal or more force when they have intent to do you great bodily harm. So everybody getting these licenses and carrying pepper spray guns and blank firing guns, it's kind of ridiculous they still can't carry real firearms.
Well, you know, Austin, what it makes me think of is a bunch of little boys running around with their cap guns and playing cops and robbers or playing Wild West. And, you know, we talked to a lot of people in Germany years ago, last time we were there, and then just getting back from there. And they really believe that we are still the Wild West over here. I mean, Dad'll show them his gun permit, and they freak out. They can't fathom the idea of carrying a firearm with you. And we were like, well, if, you know, we were open carry, I guarantee you we'd be carrying it even, you know, more people would even be carrying them. But you know, you get these guns that are shooting blanks, or you get the pepper spray guns. You know, I think word's going to kind of spread pretty fast through the streets with all these migrants that don't worry about the guns, you know, the pepper spray, you know, watch out for. But the guns, they're blanks, can't kill you, can't hurt you. You know, word will get out. So it is kind of ridiculous, but I hate to tell them, what they're doing right now isn't working. I know pepper spray was sold out all over the country when this started happening, and it really hasn't solved the problem unless you're reading a different, you know, information than I'm reading. So, you know, I think that every country ought to be able to register and get a firearm and protect themselves. And I mean, I don't have to say anything to you. I'm 100% in agreement with what you believe. I have my permit. I have my two guns. As a matter of fact, for my birthday, my wonderful husband got me a mini Kimber, and I love it. It's got a kick to it, but I really enjoy it. And plus, it's a real pretty gun.
Well, like you said, too, as soon as a lot of these guys start finding out that everybody's getting permits for blank firing guns, I mean, how much of a deterrent is that? Okay, well, he's got a gun that fires blanks. We'll just make sure, you know, he just continues to fire blanks repeatedly and you'll be all right. So I don't really know exactly what they're supposed to be doing with all that. So I thought that was interesting. This is crazy now. Border Patrol agent has now testified against a Senate panel, to a Senate panel on Thursday. The vast majority of illegal immigrants in the Border Patrol, or that the Border Patrol apprehends, are released into the U.S. The head of the agent's union testified before a Senate panel on Thursday. He says on here, and I quote, it's from Brandon Judd, we're releasing basically everybody as long as you're not from the country of Mexico. Okay, so that's easy to prove. And even if you're from the country of Mexico and you claim you have a credible fear or you're seeking asylum for any reason, we're still releasing those individuals. Brandon Judd, the president of the National Border Control Council, said before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration and National Interest. He said about 80% of the individuals that the United States Border Patrol arrest at the border qualify for their catch-and-release program, in essence, and they're just getting open carte blanche to be able to come in the United States. He said, if you're an unaccompanied minor, we will only release you, we'll not only release you, we'll escort you to your final destination. If you're a family unit, we automatically release you. If you claim you have credible fear, we automatically release you. If you're a single male and we do not physically see you cross the border and you claim you've been in the country since 2014, we release you. And this is the problem that we're starting to see in the United States, is we have this gaping Swiss cheese border policy down there. That literally, there is no border policy.
No.
These guys can't do anything. If you say you have a credible fear in Mexico, they let you go. If you have a family with you, they let you go. If you say you've been there since your 2014, they let you go. This has to stop. This is why Donald Trump is so adamant about stopping this. And it's not because we don't want to let in legal immigration in the United States. It's because a large percentage of this population that's coming in here is simply coming here to sponge off the United States and not contribute anything to the country, and that's why we're falling into the trap that we are now. We spend over $100 billion a year on welfare just on illegal immigrants now, $100 billion a year. That's not sustainable, and we can't continue to let this go. So I thought I would address that there, just of how egregious the border policy patrol has gotten in the United States.
Think about it. You said one thing you just said. If, you know, you have a final destination, we will escort you to the destination. Well, that's costing us so much money there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And the bill's just going higher and higher and higher. And like you said, it's a joke. It's a joke. Everything's a joke. It's like you just want to wake up in the morning and go, ha, 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 ha. You know, go Trump. Let's get him in office.
I know. Well, I mean, it's really something to be seen that we still have the Second Amendment, just for the fact that if you look at this country now with the transgender laws, as far as with the bathrooms and our immigration policies and our gay president and our you know, transgender first lady. I mean, we're basically turned into a joke of the world. And like I said, it's almost ironic that we're such a joke, but yet we still have firearms. That's why. What was that?
I was going to say, you know, it's funny you talk about transgender. I wanted to tell you something really quick during our prayer time today. I asked your father, I said, you know, I like the idea you talked about yesterday about having the portalettes. You know, that really would solve the problem. I said, but one thing, Ted, can't they sue for that? I mean, can't they, you know, start a lawsuit about that? And he goes, well, no, there's nothing. He goes, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess they could for discrimination. I said, here we go again, being politically correct, discrimination. You know, you can't win.
No, and that's the problem that we've seen now in the United States. And speaking of lawsuit now with all this stuff, now this is interesting. The Montana Supreme Court now has struck down the last piece of voter-approved law meant to deter people who are in the United States illegally from living and working in Montana. You know, we've been to Montana. You've been there too, Mom. It's an awesome state. They usually have some really, really good constitutional freedom laws there. And more liberals from California and from Colorado are slowly starting to migrate up there, and they're completely eroding the values that Montana has based itself upon. This is crazy. Now, the court unanimously decided on Tuesday that the law denying unemployment benefits, university college benefits, and other services to people who arrive in the country illegally was unconstitutional.
Oh, my word.
The justice went further, rejecting the one remaining provision that required state workers to report to federal immigration officers the names of applicants who are in the U.S. illegally. The Montana legislation sent the anti-immigration measure to the 2012 ballot. They voted. The state of Montana voted on this law in 2012, and was approved by over 80% of the voters. It got a yay. The new law now completely disregarded that and leaves state officials to check the immigration status of applicants for unemployment insurance benefits, crime victim services, professional or trade licenses, university enrollment, and financial aid and services for disability, among other things. The law required state officials to deny services to people found to be in the country illegally and turn over their names to immigration officials for possible deportation proceedings. Now they've completely struck all this down now, meaning that it doesn't matter if you're in the country legally, it doesn't matter if you're in the state of Montana legally, you now have full access to all this stuff because, well, wouldn't that make sense? You know, denying unemployment benefits if you're an illegal, denying financial aid to universities if you're illegal, that's just unconstitutional. You can't do that. And it's crazy because Montana was kind of the last almost hope as far as the state in the United States that really stuck to its guns on a lot of stuff. And as you can see now, they've just been absolutely been infiltrated by liberal agenda, and that's exactly what's happening now in there as far as this type of just unbelievably unconstitutional immigration laws were eroding from the inside out.
You know what's sad, Austin, is as many times as we've been up there, I mean, you know, we've even gone up there by ourselves with you in Atlanta and just had a blast. And when we were there a couple years ago, I mean, people, it was so cold, they'd leave their cars running so they wouldn't get cold, and they'd leave their keys in the car and say, well, there's no problem. We don't have to be concerned about that. I mean, they don't lock their doors. And, you know, that's how they want to keep it. And with, you know, migrants coming in like that, I mean, that's going to stop. You know, like you said, the Montana that we've known for so many years is just deteriorating.
It is. It is. And now this is a new article on glyphosate. It's a health article. This is pretty interesting because you guys were just over there in Spain, and this is from Portugal. You guys, I mean, most of our listeners know, you know, worldwide glyphosate contamination is absolutely out of control. Roughly around 600,000 to 700,000 tons of glyphosate is used globally every year. Now, this is interesting. A test was conducted by the Portuguese Non-GMO Coalition and the Detox Project in the latest to discover the presence of glyphosate in human urine. However, the results are unique in that they detected substantially higher levels of glyphosate than any any other test performed in Europe now in people with no professional exposure to glyphosate, meaning these guys were not, you know, farmers. They did not work with pesticides. They did not work in any type of agricultural area. They took the urine of 26 Portuguese volunteers and tested them. Glyphosate was identified in 100% of the samples. Sadly, children had the highest amount of the weed killer in their urine. This revelation follows on the heels of a report linking pesticide exposure to childhood cancers. And this is why I've talked to you guys so many times about it's so important when your wife is pregnant to watch as far as what you guys are eating and monitor and make sure it's as organic as possible and it's as clean as possible and it's not processed. Because the thing is, guys, when you're eating this stuff and she's ingesting it, it's being delivered to the baby. And as they state here, they said quickly growing bodies take in more of everything. They eat, breathe, and drink more pound for pound than adults. As psychological systems undergo rapid changes from the womb through adolescence, interference from pesticides and industrial chemicals, even at very low levels, can derail the process in ways that lead to significant health harms, explains the Pesticide Action Network. The average level of glyphosate in the volunteers' urine in the Portuguese study was 26.2 nanograms per milliliter, an amount far higher than any similar testing in Germany. Last year, when Germany tested 2,000 euro samples, the average level was 1.1 nanograms per milliliter, and the highest was 4.2. Child volunteers had the highest levels of glyphosate in the urine in this round of testing as well. Another notable finding in the testing done in Portugal is that there were no difference in glyphosate levels between professional gardeners and city dwellers with no professional exposure to weed killer. This leads to believe that glyphosate exposure is coming through the ingestion of food and water contaminated with the chemicals. Just like we've been saying before, you know, I talked about it yesterday, Mom, about how, you know, Monsanto has an entire list of foods that they recommend spraying glyphosate on 3 days before they're harvested.
Wow.
Including wheat, oats, beans, lentils, non-GMO soybean, non-GMO canola. And so that's what's going on now. It's not just the GMO foods anymore. Everything is getting contaminated with this. And then when it's being sprayed, it's going down in the water. It's going in the aquifers. It's going in the puddles. It's going in the rain. It's, as far as in the rain, water that's being collected. And so it's contaminating every aspect of our earth. But these levels of glyphosate in urine were very, very, very creepy to see it this high. So that's just another reason why we told you guys you have to be drinking purified water. You have to be eating as clean as possible. This is not getting better. This is becoming a significant epidemic, and there's absolutely nothing we can do better than eating as clean as we can and fighting Monsanto and doing our best to prevent this. That's why, again, like I've said before, the Vermont labeling bill is so awesome because it's going to force a lot of these guys to list this stuff even though they don't want to. Granted, that's not the end-all for everything, but it's a start, at least a start. So we'll see how this plays out, but I wanted to address that with you guys because that's pretty significant.
Well, Austin, even on a smaller level, think about the individual homeowners that are using the glyphosate, the Roundup. And years ago, I admit, we used a lot of it because it was the best weed killer here in Florida. And if you don't live in Florida, we are just overtaken by weeds and trying to have a nice lawn. And, I'd say, I don't know how many years ago, we said we're not using this anymore. You know, we learned more about it. And unfortunately, we had sprayed a whole field with it that we had planted trees in. This is what you, I guess, would call an orchard. And we can't get the fruit to grow. We couldn't get anything to, nothing. It was just dormant. I mean, we'd have trees for years that wouldn't produce any fruit. And what's so interesting is your wife, Lana, her uncle, who is one of the biggest, I guess, organic farm educators in the world, goes around to different countries teaching people how to do organic farming, came to the house, looked at our orchard, shook his head in just disgrace and said, "This is going to be a lot of work, but I can guarantee you when I get done telling you what to do, which is very simple, but it's a lot of work, you're going to have fruit on your trees and you're going to have a harvest." We dug that soil out, got rid of the soil. I mean, deep, wide digging. We're talking a lot of soil. We got the worm castings. We got the compost, the mushroom compost, and just really, really just put a bunch in, Austin. Planted the trees, replanted some trees. We're getting all kinds of stuff already this spring that we've never had before. Once a month, we take the liquid fish guts, we fertilize with that and with a little bit of actually blackstrap molasses diluted every single month. We put an organic fertilizer on the citrus, and it just is paying off. But then again, think about here we are on a lake and all the people that, you know, we may not be using the Roundup, but all the people around us that are using it, and though it's going into the lake water and the fish are contaminated. So it's just a vicious cycle. But I wanted to talk about something today. It's funny that you brought this up because, okay, the bees populations are going down. We've heard so much about it. 4,000 species of native bees are in decline, and since 2006, colony collapse disorder, they call it, has wiped out nearly 3 million hives. And they're saying the major problem is the pesticides. So yep. Real quick, what's your solution? I suggest you go to natural pesticides. You can use neem oil. There's on the web, you can find up recipes for it. There's a salt spray you can make that kills spider mites. And one really easy way to get rid of ants is through citrus oil and cayenne pepper mixed in warm water. So there's all kinds of things you can do. And also there's a website, it's called honeyflow.com. Lana had sent me this a couple months ago. It's a revolutionary flow system that makes extraction process less stressful for the bees and a lot easier for beekeepers. And check into your alternatives and putting in maybe some beehives in around your home and just repopulating your area. And if people started doing it in their areas, eventually we could get the bee population, because without pollination, guys, we don't have any food.
No, that's exactly a very true statement. So there's some very good options that you just mentioned out there, the natural pesticides that actually work, that you're not contaminating everything around you. This is interesting now. Now this is from Tyler Durden. The insurer is now suing the U.S. government for $223 million in Obamacare-related VAT payments. And another development in the train wreck that is known as Obamacare. While we know that the legislation is failing individuals and businesses, the government is now failing to live up to its own obligations, surprise, surprise, made to insurers who chose to participate in the health care exchanges. The Affordable Care Act set up what is called Risk Corridor Program. Essentially, the program limits the risk of loss an insurer can take due to its participation in the health care exchange by being reimbursed for part of the loss. The program works the other way around as well, meaning that if an insurer profits above a certain threshold, those profits are paid into the program. Well, in 2014, insurers paid $362 million into the program total. However, it was requested as a $2.87 billion in payments to help cover the losses with the other insurers. Due to this, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services promptly back out of the agreement that it made with the insurers and decided to announce that insurers would only receive 12% of the money they claimed under the Risk Corridor Program in 2014. It turns out that at least one insurer isn't going to accept that, and the government isn't going to fill its end of the bargain. So the insurance arm of Pittsburgh-based nonprofit Highmark Health is suing the U.S. government for $223 million in back payments owed to it under the Risk Corridor Program. All we're asking is for the federal government to do what they promised, said Highmark Health. They had a loss of around $85 million last year on revenue of about $17.7 billion. The losses are largely due to the part to its ACA plan businesses, and one can see why the company would expect the government to live up to its promises. Example of how Obamacare will not only drive up insurance premiums, drive out small businesses, and leave patients scrambling for medical attention, but it will also continue to drive health insurance companies out of business. That change we could all believe in. I thought that was interesting. Again, we're just seeing here now how the Obamacare program was never even designed to work. It was completely designed to fail and bring down the economy from the beginning. And in my opinion, it was planned failure from the very start. They knew this. That's why they mandated it. That's also why they mandated in the fine, the fee, the tax, whatever you want to call it or refer to it as. It's theft is what it is. It's thievery. They're stealing money from you for being healthy. Simply all it is. It was designed to fail from the beginning. No other question about it.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, the craziest thing about all of
this. Whoa, transition there. Hey, Dad. Glad you're on the show with us.
Hey, well, I've got something I want to say real quick, and I want to comment on this real quick. Then I got to go because I'm prepping for Hagman tonight. Again, I'll be on Hagman for all 3 hours tonight. I've been doing research at the office. You know that. And I just left the office, and now I've got to go through a bunch of articles that we'll be covering tonight on Hagman Show, all fresh information. So you guys stay tuned tonight for 3 hours with Doug and Joe and me. And then on Sunday night, I'll be on with Dave Hodges. But Joe, Austin, Cloward and Piven, see, what happens when Obama decided to destroy the United States and that he knows the end of the republic is near, he has to do it through internal welfare programs like this healthcare protocols and destroying the taxpayer and taking the money away from us and forcing us to have insurance. Whenever you force somebody to have insurance, the insurance companies can raise the prices as much as they want. There's nothing you can do. Otherwise, you get penalized and you may end up going to jail over it. So people have to have health insurance now, which is ludicrous. I have no health insurance, none whatsoever. I just pay the penalty every year, don't care, because I'm not going to go into the medical monopoly poison cut burn program anyhow, so it doesn't make any difference. I quit my health insurance 5 years ago after I'd spent hundreds of thousands of dollars over the past 25 years and trying to have insurance and trying to be part of that protocol. I said, the heck with it, I'm not going to do this anymore. I've got workman's comp at the office, I get hurt at the office, and I've also got health insurance on my automobiles if I get injured in my car. So the heck with all that mess, I'm not going to be involved in any of it and until I'm absolutely forced to by the government, which that could happen too. They could force all of us and be, well, nobody gets tax refunds anyhow if you don't pay your health insurance now. So that's just how that works. But I want to bring up one article real quick. And I wrote this morning, and I wanted to read it on the air today. Now the End Begins had a really good article on Barack Obama and the transgender construct to completely reset the American society. And I'm going to read you what I wrote this morning at 7 o'clock. Wasn't all the way awake yet, but I wrote it down anyhow because this article bothered me so much after I read it. I said, this is a must read. The only way this would be acceptable to Obama, in other words, the whole transgender information and what he's done to the economy, is that like Rubio, Obama is gay. When Joan Rivers called him and Michelle out, Michael, I guess I could call him, she was dead within a month. Obama is a blatant hypocrite for remaining in the closet as a homosexual. We the people should know that he is gay. Remaining in the closet is total hypocrisy. The media, which is controlled by the Hollywood Communist International Banker Group, is also openly supportive of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the Sabbateans, the followers of the false Sabbatean Levi Messiah of the 1600s. Their goal is simple, to subvert everything God created. This is why they're called the Synagogue of Satan, to turn creation upside down. They are most likely either being controlled by interdimensional entities, we call them demons, and many feel this is the fallen angel handiwork from Genesis chapter 6. I agree with this premise. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. In those days, every thought of every man was evil all the time. Obama is seeking to restore Sodom and Gomorrah, using the USA as a template. This is minimal compared to what the Wicked Witch Hillary will do. Plus, many have now been brainwashed into believing that an acceptance of a deviant sexual lifestyle is in everyone's best interest. This is what happened to Rome. Sadly, most Christians sit at their happy, happy churches and don't see reality, but only a false paradigm being promoted by name it, blame it, grab it, greedy preachers, masquerading as men of the cloth. These men refuse to preach repentance. They refuse to preach holiness. It's all about filling their church with politically correct groupies and yuppies and all of the trendies. Everyone, please wake up. The time is short. We need to restore our once great country. The truth must be preached to the masses. The media won't do it. The communists backed by the Rothschilds from the 1930s, who were the primarily Satanists, again, the Synagogue of Satan, have created this mess. Senator Joe McCarthy was right back in the 50s. Austin, you don't remember this. I do, in which he started going in and saying that Hollywood was being controlled by the communists. What he didn't fail to say, it was also the Luciferian group that was doing it. But I wrote that this morning. I'm going to be covering that in more detail tonight on Hagman Show. In fact, I need to write an entire article on that, make it about 10 pages long and have it available for our listeners. But I just wanted to share that with you on the show today, and also, again, encourage everybody to please listen to the Hagman and Hagman Report tonight and Dave Hodges on Sunday night. And that's all for me for today. I would give the phone back to, give the headsets back to your mom. We love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, you got anything you want to add to that before I say goodbye?
Oh, no, that was very good. I saw that article that you wrote this morning on the email, and that's very, I mean, it's as basic as it gets. That's exactly what's going on. So I'm glad you got to put that on the air today.
Yeah, I just wanted everybody, because it kind of came to me after I read that article, and everybody please read that article. And here's Sharon. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tonight.
I'm glad he got to be on there for a second. The transition was a bit abrupt, but that was great.
Yeah, Austin, my voice kind of changed, didn't it?
Yeah, so I was like, uh-oh, what happened here? But
that's what's so fun about radio.
Yeah, this is crazy now, too. The California Senate is now pushing 10 different gun control bills in an effort to essentially completely block California from having almost any Second Amendment rights. Funny, we were just talking about this earlier. I just saw this article. The bill, which they're referring to this now in California as a gunpocalypse, as far as they're trying to strip basically everybody's rights. The bill includes an outright ban on the manufacture and new sale of all semi-automatic rifles that have detachable magazines. That's huge. Background checks for any amount of ammunition purchased. Statewide ban on any magazine that holds more than 10 rounds of ammunition. And according to the Los Angeles Times, the massive body of gun control bills was introduced after two terrorists killed 14 people attending a holiday event in San Bernardino. In other words, after gun control proved to be completely useless against attackers, the California Senate decided more gun control for law-abiding citizens was the solution, even though there's absolutely no scientific research that's ever been proven or ever shown that more gun laws, stricter gun laws, prevent gun crime. It doesn't exist. So this type of stuff is completely, again, going against the Constitution, purposely to disarm California even further than they have already been allowed to be disarmed. So, I mean, if it goes through, I hope it doesn't, but again, it will not surprise me in California. I give them 10 years, and I highly doubt you will even be able to own a firearm over there. Maybe something like a bolt-action sporting rifle, you know, like mm-hmm. a, you know, 30-06 deer rifle, or maybe a pump shotgun. Anything else is probably going to be classified as illegal to possess or own. That's pretty much where it's going in California now.
I agree. I think it's headed that way, and I mean, you know, that's really not the state that you go to go hunting and, you know, get your elk and your moose and your deer and whatever. But, you know,
yeah.
So I don't think you're going to see any of those type of guns anyway. So, yeah, you're right, Austin. It's just, it's sad, but I think that's going to be one of the biggest ones as far first to go.
Yeah, I mean, California's always been like that, and that's why we're seeing Colorado start follow suit. That's when they did the magazine ban in Colorado, I think, 2 years ago, which caused Magpul, the company that makes all kinds of different magazines and weapon accessories, to actually relocate outside of Colorado simply because it wasn't they weren't going to support that there. This is interesting, too. Now, Seattle officers have stopped several East African migrants with suitcases of cash leaving the U.S. This is a bizarre story to me. I don't even understand how they have allowed this to continue to happen and they don't stop it, because I know if I go through the airport and I just got a big old duffel bag of cash with me, I can pretty much guarantee you I'm going to be apprehended and they're going to find some reason to confiscate the cash immediately. However, when they're dealing with immigrants and people that are basically, asylum seekers, so to speak, they don't want to be bigots or offend anybody, so they refuse to do anything. But obviously there's something going on here. Travelers pulling suitcases full of cash started showing up at the SeaTac airport last year, holding tickets for flights headed out of the United States. You can travel outside the United States with as much money as you choose as long as you declare it, said Mike Bull, who heads the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The people carrying the cash didn't hide it from customs. Seattle and King County are home to tens of thousands of immigrants and refugees from East Africa, many of whom use the hawalas to send much-needed money back to loved ones in their homeland. giving the presence of active terrorist organizations in Somalia. Investigators worry that a lot of this money being sent home by Somalia ends up in the hands of Al-Qaeda or other terrorists. Kern said the first cash shipment rolled through SeaTac early last year. Get this, guys. A man carrying $750,000 in cash in a suitcase told customs he was transporting the money overseas to family. Over the next several months, carriers carrying as much as $2 million boarded commercial flights at SeaTac. I don't even understand as far as how this has gone on. They said, Seattle, they've seen over $20 million go through last year. Kearns, who is a Seattle police officer who retired last December after serving 14 years on the FBI's Joint Terrorism Force, found it even more suspicious when he started digging up the details on the customs declarations and found out that all the individuals on these high-dollar cash declarations were all on full immigration welfare in the United States, meaning they had absolutely no source of income besides the government sending them money every month. They had no legitimate jobs whatsoever. So my question is, where are they getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash to transfer back overseas to South Africa? This entire incident smells completely and totally disgusting to me, and the fact that Border Patrol and Customs didn't seize this money until they find out what's going on. Like I said, if I go to the airport with a $750,000 in cash, they're going to let me board a plane? Are you joking me right now? They immediately stop me.
They say, you're not buddies. you're not buddies with Obama. These are probably his buddies. Austin, that kind of smells like Obama.
Yeah, over in Somalia and East Africa.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either.
Surprises me, you know. And the thing is, they always tell you what they're going to do before they do it. So they're just blatantly doing it in the open, not hiding it. And so you don't get a suspicious, supposedly. But probably some governmental thing. I mean,
they're using it to run straw purchases to fund more weapons over there.
Fund more
terrorist groups. I mean, that's what it is. It's some type of CIA black op thing they're doing again. So, I mean, this guy came out and finally said something about it, but it's crazy you don't hear anything else. The TTP, you know, the trade agreement that has been just an absolute nightmare, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, U.S. Congressman Dan Lipinski said the report from the International Trade Commission revealed TPP free trade agreement would have a massive negative impact on the manufacturing sector in the United States. Go figure. We already knew that. We talked about it before. You said they would have a negative impact on the manufacturing sector. If approved, manufacturers and their hardworking employees will be hit the hardest by the trade agreement, with our manufacturing trade deficit increasing by a whopping $24+ billion per year. In the statement, Lipinski pledged to continue his fight to defeat the TPP and similar trade deals that do not benefit America's middle class, raise wages, and safeguard the consumer and environmental protections that we rely on. In February, the U.S., Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and Vietnam signed the TPP Free Trade Agreement. Under the deal, a free trade zone was established between the 12 nations, which constitute 40% of the world's GDP. I'm not going to go into a ton of detail with it because we've gone over it before, but you guys already know, as far as if you read about this, how significant this is going to be as far as negatively impacting the United States economy. This has been one reason why Trump has been so vocal about his disapproval for the TPP deal and saying that basically if he becomes president, he will immediately revoke this deal and do something that's a benefit of America, because this essentially is going to give away all of our rights again, like we've already beginning to do with the UN, with, you know, the UN treaties they've done, with the UN firearm treaties, all this stuff now.
Well, and Austin also is like he had said so many times, is to get the jobs back in America, get the factories back in America, and, you know, quit letting them go overseas like that. And it's going to take a lot. But, you know, this country was founded on the small businessman. And like I think you may have said yesterday, you know, we are a small business. Healthmasters.com is a small business. We've worked really hard. We live what we say. We do what we say. We're a family-owned and operated business. And you can call us up. You can talk to live people. We live it. We know what we're talking about. We're not going to put you on the line with somebody out of India that's getting paid, you know, who knows what, and that you can't understand their accent. They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, where does it come down to, Austin, where just the relationship, the customer relationship, I mean, we've lost all that with the machines and like I said, the factories going overseas and China just taking over all that. We've got to keep the small businesses going, and I think Trump's going to be a big part of that because he is a businessman. And he knows what needs to be done in America as far as that goes.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the reasons, like I said, he said we have to start doing deals that are good for the United States. And, you know, that sounds basic to begin with, and that sounds easy, oversimplified somewhat. But the truth about it is he's exactly right. And that's when he talked about his foreign policy. He had his foreign policy speech. He went into detail on that, on letting people know that we can no longer be the, you know, oh, it's good for everybody else but America, so it must be what we need to do. And that's been the aspect of all the communism and fascism mindset in the United States, is that all we want to do is spread the wealth to every other part of the world except America. And that has to stop. We can no longer be geared to the point where everything has to revolve around helping everybody else in the world. When the United States is imploding on itself, we have to start making better, wiser, stronger decisions for the United States and bring us where we need to be. This is crazy. Now, so I saw this earlier. Ross is now lined up with Target in that they are encouraging the whole transgender thing to be able to be used in their bathrooms back and forth. The same thing Target came out and said now. Ross has now come out and said that. They basically said that store policy trumps your comfort. And it's pretty sad because a lot of these stores now, what's going to happen is if a lot of these stores start doing this, nobody's going to be able to boycott all of them. That's simple as that. What they're going to do is they're all leaning together. And obviously most of these guys are, you know, pro-transgender movement. I have no idea why. The thing you have to understand, guys, is this is something nobody wants to address, is that the whole transgender ideology, everything behind that, that is a gender dissociative disorder. It is classified in the DSM-5 manual as such, in the psychological manual for diagnosis. It is a disorder. I don't care what you guys want to call it, how you want to feel about it, what you want to think about it, it's clinically a disorder. Now, granted, they make a disorder for just about everything now, but this is, in my opinion, a true disorder. It is a gender dissociative identity disorder. It's where you are confused about your gender, and there's absolutely no reason to cater to somebody that is so, that is, has a disorder. They're confused. They have something going on in their mind that's not right. They need to get completely lined up right where they need to go. They need to accept Christ. And they need to push past this instead of us catering and then making them think it's okay. And it's not okay. It's not acceptable behavior. And it's not normal. It's a disorder. It'd be like saying, taking somebody that's a sociopath, you know, it's a schizophrenic bipolar disorder that likes to kill people, and say, well, wait a minute, guys. You can't tell him he can't go kill people, because now you're being a bigot. You know, you're targeting him and you're not allowing him to do what he feels is good for him. You know, this is what he feels is right. Are you kidding me? That's where this is heading now with this type of ideology, where people are saying good is bad and bad is good. You know, it doesn't matter if you have a dissociative identity disorder about your gender. It's okay. You can use whatever bathroom makes you feel good. That's nonsense, guys. It needs to stop, and everybody needs to put a stand to it, especially in their schools now. Now that Obama said that in the schools, I mean, and Dad's going to go into more detail on this tonight, because this is becoming an issue. This isn't just a little, okay, this happened, this is an incident. This is a ideology that is trying to be pressed into the American public with great prejudice towards our values, And this is something we really need to stand firm and stand strong on. This is not something we can waver on. We have no options left after this. Once we start to go this route, as Dad said before, like we go to Rome, the way Rome went, where, you know, sexual deviant behavior is considered normal, okay, and the most positive direction for us to go, it goes nowhere but downhill fast from there, and that's just a simple fact.
Well, you know, Austin, I don't know if it's good or bad or indifferent, but, you know, when you're a parent and you've got girls, like, well, Savannah's our youngest and she's 13, but I mean, you know, when we go out running errands or shopping, they have to use the bathroom, okay? I'd say if we were at Sam's or somewhere, we'll use Sam's bathrooms or use this place because I know the bathrooms are clean. A mother usually is concerned about the cleanest bathroom. But now it's to the point where you don't want them to even use the restroom when you're out. Well, go here because we know these aren't transgender and we're going to be going to our next stop and they are and or they may be. And the best thing we can do is to try our best to boycott these stores and let them know, because their sales go down, their stocks go down, and that's the only way they're really going to understand that we're against it. But I don't know. If I had a situation like this, Austin, and it occurred and my daughter was in the bathroom, I'd probably end up in jail, and I just know me. I'm not going to hold back because it infuriates me. It's not right, and it's not safe. And I choose just to try not to go to those places now. But, I mean, you know, as parents and as mothers, what are you supposed to do? Hold it. Well, these kids, they can't hold it, you know? I mean, get real.
Yeah.
It's just aggravating.
No, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed very, very soon. From a positive standpoint. And I don't know Trump's stance on it. He said he's been open with a lot of it. However, you know, there's a difference between being open to the idea of it if there's a specific issue and being forcefully active and trying to shove it essentially down people's throats and make them okay with it by mandating federal law. If Target wants to go out of their way and say they accept something like this, there's nothing we can do about it. That's their choice. They're a business. It'd be like if Health Masters, we decided you couldn't come into Health Masters store unless you were legally carrying a firearm. We wouldn't do that, but I'm saying that as an analogy. We could do that, and that's our business, and we can do whatever we want. If Target wants to do that, it's one thing, but sitting there doing federal mandates and forcing people, and especially now public education, to be acceptable to this and, you know, accept this and take it in, that's why we've told you so many times now, that the public education is not what it used to be. I've heard parents say that so many times. Well, public school is good enough for me when I was younger. It's good enough for my kid. Listen, bud, public school is not in the 50s or 60s anymore. That is not the type of school we have. This is a significantly different change. This is an indoctrination program to change and alter the entire perception of the children's mindsets for the rest of their life. That is what the school system does now. It is nothing about educating. It is nothing about learning. It is nothing about being stronger. It is nothing about peer groups. It's all about indoctrination and building these kids into a young generation that the government essentially has mind control over and brainwashes them into thinking, like I said before, wrong is right and right is wrong. Everything's converted. Everything's inverted. Nothing's off limits. Just do what you want, do how you feel, do whatever makes you feel great, and that's just the way it needs to go. That's what they're trying to preach to these kids. In other news too, now the United Nations has reviewed Monsanto's glyphosate and is now stating that it's not carcinogenic. Again, the United Nations, they're just an absolute, I'm not even going to start talking about them right now, but experts with the UN have now released a statement claiming that glyphosate is unlikely to pose a carcinogenic risk to humans exposed through food. What? And the World Health Organization, of course, we know they're completely legitimate, co-signed the statement. The organization said they found that glyphosate is not genotoxic, which is destructive to cells' genetic material, which it is. The group met last week and published their conclusions this week. In view of the absence of carcinogenic potential in rodents at human-relevant doses, the absence of genotoxicity by the oral route in mammals, and considering the evidence from occupational exposures, the meeting concluded glyphosate is unlikely to pose any carcinogenic risk to humans. Really? Because it's interesting, because in March 2015, just over a year ago, the WHO, which is the World Health Organization's own internal agency for research on cancer, published a report which contradicted that exact thing. They found in the report that glyphosate, they stated, probably contributes to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in humans and is classified as a group 2A carcinogen. The scientists stated there was sufficient evidence in animals, limited evidence in humans, and strong supporting evidence showing DNA mutations and damaged chromosomes. These guys are backpedaling for Monsanto. They're obviously being paid by Monsanto large amounts of money. Monsanto is a huge, 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 huge hand in the world now. They peddle money to everybody. When the World Health Organization comes out with a study saying that it's a group 2A carcinogen and that it does show DNA mutations and damaged chromosomes, and then a year later they backpedal with the UN and state, nope, none of that's correct. Everything we stated earlier, completely inaccurate. This is the truth now. It has no issues, not carcinogenic to humans whatsoever. Keep eating your glyphosate. Keep drinking your fluoride. Nothing to see here. This should be clear-cut evidence now. Again, as I've said before, the UN, the WHO, Monsanto, all these guys are interlocked with each other. They all scratch each other back, and their main overall goal and focus is to destroy large percentages of the population and reduce the population in the United States. No question about it, especially if you see this article, you can't even question it anymore.
Well, you know, over in Europe, I felt like I was safe not having to question, well, is this GMO? Is this GMO? What's going on with this? Because there are a lot of, they don't use as much pesticides normally over there. But again, who knows what's going on? You know, you feel like you're safe, but you just don't know anymore. I know they don't really allow GMO foods over there. But over here in the States, it's sad, and my heart goes out to people that are just fighting just to pay the house payment, much less put food on the table, and now they have to think about what kind of food is this? Well, I've got to go organic. Well, it's a little pricier. Guys, what I would do is find a way to cut back somewhere in your budget, even if it's not going to the movies once a week or just something like that. That's an example. To start putting a little more money for your produce, to go organic, and start doing something that will make at least a little bit of change in your diet. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, now Canada's health minister on Thursday approved the genetically modified salmon safe to eat, making it the first transgenic animal for Canadian dinner tables. This comes after 6 months after U.S. authorities gave the green light to sell the fish in American grocery stores and also stated that it was not required to be labeled as GMO salmon, which I just found that to be just the gravy on top. Now you don't even know if it's GMO salmon. Which essentially leads me to what I've told you guys before. It's called Aqua Advantage Salmon. It's made by Aqua Bounty. It's going to be very large. It's going to be all, farm-raised. It's not going to be wild-caught at all. It's all going to be farm-raised. So, again, Canada, United States, keep a lookout for this stuff. Pretty much from what I've told people before now, it's a lot more money. I know because I've bought a lot of Sam's. The actual wild-caught salmon is going to cost a significant amount more money.
Oh, yeah.
But when it's certified wild-caught, granted, you still know there's going to be some type of toxicity elements to it from the water and exposure. I got that. But the thing about it is the farm-raised salmon in general is a very, very unhealthy fish.
Well, you know, eating at the buffets at all the different hotels we stayed at with the Starwood properties, I think one had a buffet that did not have farm-raised salmon. And you'd see two different types of salmon, smoked salmon or whatever. And every time we go down to breakfast, we'd ask, is this farm-raised or is it wild? And one place, it didn't have the orange, watery dye, you know, it wasn't sitting in like an orange dye, because the farm-raised, the bad salmon, has got a little bit of an orange, watery color to it, you know, in the plate that it's sitting in. And it was very frustrating because it is such a good source of protein. But you've got to start asking. You've got to go to restaurants. Be bold. Ask them. You know, sometimes they just get tired of us asking questions. But I'm not going to put this junk in my body. And if I know to do it and I do it anyway, well, shame on me. Because that's what I was saying earlier. At healthmasters.com, we live it. We believe it. We are not hypocrites. We do much more than what we even tell y'all to do. But everything and every story that we talk about, we do the best we can to do what's right and do what we're telling you to do. That's the way it should be, Austin, you know?
Yes. Well, and the thing, and that's why what I was originally saying earlier is that you pretty much have to go with wild caught now, because now with the Aqua Bounty, they're telling us that a good portion of it is pretty much almost a good portion of farm raised is going to be GMO salmon now, which they took like Chinook DNA, something else, mixed it all together. You know, it's not necessarily that I'm saying Aqua Bounty GMO salmon is absolutely horrible, because the problem is nobody knows. That's the biggest thing behind it that everybody's so frustrated about, is that they've had zero animal studies, zero human studies, zero clinical double-blind studies, no studies to see if this stuff causes any type of different gastrointestinal problems, any type of digestive disorders, any type of nutrient deficiencies, all across the board. Nothing's been done on it, but yet you take the first time that essentially a GMO meat is being produced and you automatically approve it, slap it on the table, say it can't be listed as GMO, and force people to eat it. To me, it sounds like they know a lot more about it than what they're leading on, and a lot more of what they know about it is probably negative. Because no reason, if this stuff was that great, if it was so fantastic, they would not gone out of their way to show the positive research and say, hey, we're going to label this. This is Aqua Bounty salmon. This is GMO salmon. This stuff's great. It gives you more energy. It's more effective. They grow faster. It's easier to cook. It tastes better. You know, the list goes on. They're not doing that. They're intentionally blocking the American public from knowing what they're eating on purpose, because there's something behind this they don't want people to know, and it's simple as that. It's much more sinister than what everybody's thinking it is. So that's what I told you guys before. Stick with wild caught. That's pretty much the only option now with fish, if you're going to eat fish. I don't even eat that much fish anymore. I primarily like to go with organic grass-fed ground beef, whole eggs, and organic chicken, just because you have a little bit more control about it. You know they're certified. You know what they're eating. You know how they're raised. Everything's pretty clean at that point, and that's the best thing to go with. But, guys, it's been great on the show again today. It's Friday. Dad's going to be on the Hagman Show tonight from 7, live all the way through the show. Mom, it's been great having you on again. Anything you want to close with?
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys again on Sunday. The show, from 7 to 8 on Sunday, our show.
Yep, we'll be back. That will be live. Sunday will be live show again. There's been a couple reruns the last couple weeks while they were in Europe, but it will be live again this Sunday, and then directly after that, that will be on the Dave Hodges Show live again as well.
So we'll listen in tonight, Hagman and Hagman.
Yep, and you guys have a blessed weekend, and be safe. If you need anything, email us or call us, healthmasters.com, send us an email. You guys have a safe weekend. You guys have a wonderful night.